Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, called The Characteristics of King Puranjana, text number 25.
Tamaha lalitam viraha
Savrida
smita shobhana
Nigdhena panga
punkhena
Lalitam,
very gently,
Vira,
the hero,
Savrida,
with shyness,
Smita,
smiling,
Shobhanam,
very beautiful,
Snighena,
by sex desire,
Apanga Punkhena,
by the arrow of glancing,
Sprishta,
thus pierced,
Prema Udbhavat,
exciting love,
Bhuva, by the eyebrows. Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Isti Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Puranjana, the hero, became attracted by the eyebrows and smiling face of the very beautiful girl, and was immediately pierced by the arrows of her lusty desires. When she smiled shyly, she looked very beautiful to Puranjana, who, although a hero, could not refrain from addressing her. Please repeat. Puranjana the hero.
Puranjana the hero.
Becoming attracted by the eyebrows.
Becoming attracted by the eyebrows.
And smiling face.
And smiling face.
Of the very beautiful girl.
Of the very beautiful girl.
And was immediately pierced.
And was immediately pierced.
By the arrows of her lusty desires.
By the arrows of her lusty desires.
When she smiled shyly.
She
looked very beautiful to Puranjana.
She looked very beautiful to Puranjana.
Who, although a hero,
could not refrain from addressing her.
Purport. Every living entity is a hero in two ways. When he is a victim of the illusory energy, he works as a great hero in the material world, as a great leader, politician, businessman, industrialist, etc. And his heroic activities contribute to the material advancement of civilization. One can also become a hero by becoming master of the senses, a Goswami. Material activities are false heroic activities, whereas restraining the senses from material engagement is great heroism. However great a hero one may be in the material world, he can be immediately conquered by the lumps of flesh and blood known as the breasts of women. In the history of material activities, there are many examples, like the Roman hero Antony, who became captivated by the beauty of Cleopatra. Similarly, a great hero in India named Baji Rao became a victim of a woman during the time of Maharashtrian politics, and he was defeated. From history, we understand that formerly politicians used to employ beautiful girls who were trained as Vishakanya. These girls had poison injected into their bodies from the beginning of their lives, so that in due course of time, they would become so immune to the poison and so poisonous themselves that simply by kissing a person, they could kill him. These poisonous girls were engaged to see an enemy and kill him with a kiss. Thus, there are many instances in human history of heroes who have been curbed simply by women. Being part and parcel of Krishna, the living entity is certainly a great hero, but due to his own weakness, he becomes attracted to the material features.
Krishna bahir mukhaya bhoga vancha kare nikatastha maya tare japatiya dhare.
It is said in the Prema Vivarta that when a living entity wants to enjoy material nature, he is immediately victimized by the material energy. A living entity is not forced to come into the material world. He makes his own choice, being attracted by beautiful women. Every living entity has the freedom to be attracted by material nature or to stand as a hero and resist that attraction. It is simply a question of the living entities being attracted or not being attracted. There is no question of his being forced to come into contact with material energy. One who can keep himself steady and resist the attraction of material nature is certainly a hero and deserves to be called a Goswami. Unless one is master of the senses, he cannot become a Goswami. The living entity can take one of two positions in this world. He may become a servant of his senses, or he may become a master of them. By becoming a servant of the senses, one becomes a great material hero. And by becoming master of the senses, he becomes a Goswami, or a spiritual hero.
Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnana Anjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Thapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Maityam Tadati Swapadantikam.
So all of us, we show up here in the material world thinking of ourselves as heroes. Every little boy, as he grows up, likes to play games in which he's the hero and fighting with the bad guys. And every little girl likes to create her whole scenario in which she's the princess. She has her dollhouse and her dolls and everything is nicely arranged and so forth. And of course, as we're children, this looks very innocent and very sweet. He's pretending to be this or pretending to be that. But those are all desires that we've embedded in our hearts for many, many lifetimes. The desire to be center stage, to be in the spotlight, for everything to be about us. And as we grow up, then we go through life, we go through the material world, and this bubble in which we exist, the very small sandbox which we started out in, gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And our sandbox gets bigger. And it's not just the little piece of land with some sand in it, but now it involves a much greater piece of land, perhaps a house or so forth. Perhaps it might involve even an entire country. Right? Perhaps we might consider ourselves proprietors of the world even. And so our sandbox grows bigger, and our conception of ourselves as heroes grows larger and larger. And we think of ourselves as the center of attention. Of course, this creates problems, because if everyone is thinking of themselves as the heroes of the play, right, then at some point we're going to come into conflict. Because I'm here, I'm the hero, right? I'm situated here. But what are you doing in my space? And why are you acting like a hero? And if someone steals the spotlight from us, then that, of course, becomes very difficult to bear. And this is this is the creation of envy within the heart, which is the primary characteristic of the material world. Is one so-called hero being unable to tolerate the heroism of another? And so we hear over and over again fairy tales. We grow up on fairy tales. In any culture of the world, in any part of the world, any history, any time period, people grow up on fairy tales, right? Stories of heroes and heroines, of knights in shining white armor rescuing desperate princesses, and beautiful princesses who capture the knight of their dreams by their beauty. So we hear about Cinderella, and we hear about Snow White, and we hear about Shrek. It's the same story. Sometimes we add a little twist here, a little twist here. The princess who kissed the frog, right? It's all variations of the same story. And why are they so attractive? Why do they never fail to attract the mind of a child or an adult even? It's because we see ourselves in that position. Right? We all hope one day we'll get to rescue a damsel in distress. Right? Every damsel hopes that her knight in shining armor will come one day. Right? And she gets to be the princess of her palace. And this is the desire embedded in the heart of everyone. And this is why Prabhupada says, every living entity is a hero. We're material heroes so long as we're here in the material world. But, of course, this is all a great misconception. The reason we're here to act out our role as heroes is because we can't tolerate the fact that Krishna is, in fact, the real hero. Right? He's the true hero. He's the real center stage, the person in the spotlight. This, when this desire in the heart appears, that it's, it, We can't tolerate that fact. Right? Then Krishna places us here in the material world. He puts us here and says, here, you could be the hero of your own sandbox here. There, in Vrindavan, there's only one hero. Right? That hero is Krishna. And he is the attraction, the center stage of everyone's life. Ekala Ishara Krishna Arshabhritya. There's only one master, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, and everyone else is dependent. In fact, he says this in the context of discussing Lord Balaram, that even Lord Balaram is ultimately a dependent on Lord Krishna. There is absolutely only one Ishvara, one controller, one hero of this stage. Just like you have these movie awards, no? What are they called? The Oscars? Or there's probably many of them. Yeah. And you get the award for best actor or best actress. And all of us, we're striving for this position. Why can't I be best actor? Why can't I be best actress? But that position's taken already. Right? It's taken. The award has been given. It's Krishna's. And the best actress, Srimati Radharani. Right? The two of them are the best actor and actress in Vrindavan. We can strive to be the best supporting actor. Right? The best supporting actress. We can strive to be the best servant possible. Right? That's real heroism on our part. Just like the history of the world has seen many people who have considered themselves great heroes, and yet time has shown, material nature has shown, that they end up being nothing like heroes at all. We find great persons like Ravana, right? A great hero. Prabhupada calls Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, all these people heroes. Like, great heroes they were. Ravana had conquered all the demigods and all the planets. He was invincible. And he would, marade around this world looking for people to fight with. And one time, of course, he met his match ultimately in Lord Ramachandra. But he didn't know this, right? And he, thinking of himself as a great hero, he was doing all kinds of illicit activities. At one point, he encounters a beautiful lady named Vedavati. Right? She's none other than Lord Lakshmi. Srimati Lakshmi Devi herself. And she's performing austerities in a secluded place, looking to have Lord Vishnu as her husband. He sees her, he's attracted by her beauty, and proceeds to grab her, as Rakshasas are prone to do. She's no ordinary woman, and when he grabs her hair, she takes her hand and just cuts it off, and says, "How dare you come near me and touch me? For what you've done, I curse you. That any woman you take against her will, your head shall shatter into 1,000 pieces." After that day, Ravana was never able to take a woman by force. He kidnapped Mother Sita, but he kept threatening her, and waiting for when she would agree, which she never did. But ultimately, when Lord Ram and his monkey soldiers showed up in Lanka, then first Lord Ramachandra sent Angada, who was the son of Sugriva, as a messenger, to tell Ravana, to give him one more chance, and say, "Give up your enmity, give up your stupid desires, and surrender to Lord Ramachandra. Even now he's ready to forgive you." And at that point, Angad, he reminds Ravana. He says, "You may be thinking yourself such a great hero and invincible, but do you remember the story of Bali? Right? When you were destroying this earth, conquering everyone, and he encountered this monkey by the name of Bali. And Vali was so powerful that when they fought, Vali easily defeated Ravana. And in fact, they didn't even fight. Ravana attacked him. Vali couldn't be bothered to see who it was that was attacking him. And he simply caught him by his tail. Right? He was the elder brother of Sugriva. He caught him by his tail. He thought, oh, some disturbance, you know, like a forest animal or something. Caught him by his tail and did not bother to look. And dragged Ravana around like this for years and years and years before Ravana was able to free himself. Right? He reminded him of this story and said, "You think you're a great hero, but don't think you don't have your matches in this world. Right? Your matches arrived in Lord Ramachandra." And of course, Lord Ram showed that he was in fact the true hero of the story. And he shows up as the true knight in shining white armor to rescue the damsel in distress. Right? He plays this role. It's Krishna's role to be the hero of this story. If you look in Vrindavan, Krishna's always the hero. He's saving the gopis from Shankaratura. He's saving his father from the great ropes of Varuna. He's saving the coward boys from Kaliya. Right? He jumps in, shows his strength, and pats his arms and dives, tightens his belt, climbs up on a tree and dives into the river, right, to fight with the great serpent Kaliya. While everyone is looking on, going, "Wow, Krishna's so good." All the coward boys, everyone's so amazed by his power. The coward boys, they support him in this activity, in this move. "Sadhu, sadhu, well done, well done. Very good, you're a great hero." And of course, for the gopis, Krishna is the hero of their lives. Right? He's a hero in a different sense. The Nayaka, the hero of the dance. Right? And they're the heroines. For Mother Yashoda, he's her little hero, right? Who's going around doing whatever he likes, and it's her job to both facilitate him and to protect him, both at the same time. When the gopis, they lose Krishna in the Rasa dance, then they're desperately searching for him in separation, and they sing beautiful prayers for him. And in one of them, they say, Vraja janarthihan vira yoshitam. Vraja janarthihan vira yoshitam. My dear Lord Krishna, you're our hero. Right? Vira yoshitam. You're the hero of all women, they say. Why? Vraja janarthihan. Because you're taking away all the problems of the residents of Vraj. You're so good, such a hero. Anytime there's any problem that shows up, whether it's Akasura or Bakasura or it's Indra himself, you're our hero. Vraja janarthihan vira yoshitam. Same word here. You're our hero, O Krishna. What do they say next? Nija janas smaya khandana smita. Thank you. Your own people, nija janas smaya, your own devotees, smaya, their pride. Right? You destroy khandana. You destroy the pride of your own devotees. How? Smita, by your beautiful smile. Right? They're saying you've destroyed any pride we had. Right? Our hearts are conquered by your smile. And yet we cannot see you. We cannot find you. And so it's being described here. Same words, right? Vira in this verse and smita is being described. Savrida smita shobana. She was very beautiful because of her beautiful smile. And he was the hero. Right? So the gopis are saying, Krishna, you're our hero. And by your beautiful smile, you destroy the pride in the hearts of your devotees. So we recognize Krishna as our hero. And then the fairy tale becomes real. It becomes true. It comes alive. Right? That's the real fairy tale. With Krishna as the hero and Radharani as the heroine. And us, we can be heroes also, as his heroic servants. Look at Hanumanji. Right? What a hero he was. Lakshmana needed the herb from the mountain. And he picks up the entire mountain and flies with it across India, from the Himalayas down south to Lanka. Right? He jumps across the ocean in one leap. Right? He's a real hero in the story. Look at Arjuna. As long as he thought he was the center stage, he was the hero of the Mahabharata, he was losing his nerve. He couldn't do anything. He says, Vepatuscha sharire me roma harshascha jayate gandivam samsrate hasta tvakcha parigaihyate. And he says, my whole body, Vepatuscha sharire me, it's trembling, roma harshascha jayate, my hair standing on end, and my bow gandiva is slipping from my hand. And Prabhupada makes the point that this is a very significant thing he's saying. Because he was a hero, and he has made a vow that anyone who tells me to put down my bow, I vow to kill that person. That person will have to die by my hand. What a heroic vow. And now he can't even hold the bow himself. And he's saying, my own hand, Gandivam Samsrate Hasta. So where is his heroism? He can't do it. He says, Karpanya Dosho Bhata Swabhava Prichami Vam Dharma Samurajita. Krishna, my heart is shriveling because of miserly weakness. I don't know what to do. Samurajita. My mind is completely confused. So I become your disciple. I surrender to you. And he recognizes, oh, Krishna is the actual hero. He is the one who's actually doing everything. Krishna reminds him of this fact, right? He says, Nimitta matra bhavasavyasacha. Oh Arjuna, you just be an instrument in my hands, that's all. You're not the hero here. You're the supporting hero. You just be an instrument only. Nimitta matra bhavasavyasacha. Then Arjuna realizes this point. Oh, Krishna's the hero. You, in fact, are the center stage. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhava. And then compare his statement at the very end. He says, Nashta Moha Smriti Labdha Karishye Vachanam Tava. He said, now my ignorance is removed, my illusion is destroyed, I've regained my memory, Karishye Vachanam Tava. I'm ready to do as you wish. Right? He's standing there with his bow, firm in hand, ready to be the hero of the story. Why? Because he recognized that Krishna was the actual hero of the story. So that's our real fairy tale. That's our real place in the world. As to be heroic servants of the Lord. Yes, we can be proud, but proud of our master, not proud of ourselves. We can be heroes, but heroes in service, not heroes in lordship. That's exclusively Krishna's prerogative. And we can make Krishna our own hero in every situation of life. When we're happy, we can make Krishna our own hero. When we're distressed, Krishna will be our hero and come rescue us in times of danger. Right? In every situation in life, we can make Krishna our hero. Because this is what the devotees do. Just look at Draupadi. She thought she had husbands for heroes. Or heroes for husbands, sorry. She thought that her husbands were the greatest. I mean, they were actually. In the world, in the realm of human beings, they were the five greatest heroes that lived. The most powerful, the most best archer was Arjuna. The greatest, you know, the strongest was Bhima. The most handsome was Nakula. The most tolerant was Sahadeva. The most dharmic was Yudhishthira. These were the five greatest heroes. Any way you want to be a hero, right, they were there. Some of us, we want to be a hero because we've got physical strength. Some of us don't have physical strength, so we want to be a hero because we know the most. Some of us don't have much knowledge, so we want to be the hero because we look the best. Right? In some way, we want to be a hero. These five were the best of heroes. And she had all five. This is actually what she had asked Lord Shiva. Right? I want a husband who's the most dharmic, who's the most beautiful, who's the most the strongest, who's the best archer, who's the most tolerant and so forth. And Shiva says, you want that in one husband? Sure, I'll get you all five. So she got all five archers, right? And yet when the time of need arose, right, none of her heroes could protect her. Right? Where were her heroes? Even the other heroes present, Drona and Bhishma and Dhritarashtra and Karna and Vidura, none of the heroes would protect her. Then she might realize, oh, who's my real hero? Govinda Pundarikaksha Rakshamam Sharanagata. Oh Govinda, oh Lotus Eye Lord, please protect me. Why? Sharanagatam. Because I've come to your shelter and I'm surrendered to you. So please protect me. And Krishna was there like a hero. Right? He loves doing this. Krishna loves being the hero. And he does it so well. Right? He'll wait and wait and wait. Right? He'll wait till she was really recognizing the fact that Krishna is a hero. He shows up at just the right moment, right? When the hero enters stage, right? It's just at the right point. The hero is there to rescue. Right? Krishna enters just at the right moment. When it's almost too late. Right? Dushasana is pulling her clothing and everyone thinks, oh no, the worst is going to happen. And Krishna's there, just in the nick of time. And he's giving her unlimited saris. The real hero. And this was because Draupadi, she recognized Krishna as such. Sometime before that, in the assembly house of Maharaj Yudhishthira, in Indraprastha, Krishna was being blasphemed severely by Shishupala. And Krishna gave him 100 chances, you know, 100 times he could criticize the Lord before the Lord would kill him. And he met his target. 100 times he criticized the Lord. And so Krishna, he called the Sudarshan Chakra and sliced off his head. Right? But as a result, his finger was slightly cut from that. And so Draupadi, as soon as she saw this, she became so concerned. And she immediately took the bottom of her sari and tore off a piece and wrapped it as a bandage around the Lord's finger. And in this way, stopped the flow of blood. And Krishna was so grateful, he whispered to her that one day I will repay every thread of this sari you gave me 1,000-fold. Every thread of it. And he did. He did. When time came, he gave her unlimited yards of saris, practically. So you gave me a little bit, and I give you so much when you need it. Sometimes Krishna may ask us to be a hero, a heroic servant, in ways that are difficult for us. Sometimes it involves doing something heroic for him, like lifting a mountain and jumping across the ocean. But other times that heroism can be a little different, right? Perhaps less visible, less apparent. Like when he asked Maharaj Yudhishthira to lie on the battlefield, right, to tell a lie, to speak a lie, and say that Ashwatthama was dead, when in fact he wasn't. And it was so difficult for Yudhishthira. He had made a vow that I would never lie in my entire life. He was the king of Dharma himself. And the Lord is asking Dharma personified to speak a lie. But he spoke it for the Lord. That was his heroism. That I'm ready to give up my sense of what is proper and appropriate for the service of the Lord. So sometimes the Lord's request to us in terms of our heroism can be in ways we may not expect. He may ask us of sacrifices, and no one may recognize us as a hero in our service. In fact, people may think opposite. They may think that in fact we're being miserly, or we're being, they may criticize us for our service. That can happen sometimes. But we have to continue going on and being heroes for Krishna, right? Being the stars. Prabhupada said there were two great battles in the history of the world, Kurukshetra, Mahabharata, and the Ramayana. And in both, the Vaishnavas were the heroes. Who said Vaishnavas cannot be heroes? No, they can. In both, they were the heroes. Right? So we can... That's our idea, that's our goal, Prabhupada is saying here. We make Krishna our hero. We make Krishna our hero. And we begin making Krishna our hero by striving to first of all conquer ourselves. First of all conquer ourselves. Prabhupada is saying there's two types of heroes, a Godas and a Goswami. A Godas is a hero because he serves his senses. He conquers the world, but he's a slave of his own senses. Like Ravana, right? He conquered the whole world, but he couldn't control himself when he saw a beautiful woman. He had to have her, and this was his demise. Right? Where was all his heroism? This is why Prabhupada is saying here in the translation. He says, Puranjana, although a hero, could not refrain from addressing her. Right? He may have been a great hero, but when it came to her, right, he turned into water. He just melted completely. Right? Ravana was in the same way. He melted completely. The servant of the senses may be a hero in every situation, but when something presents itself that's attractive to the senses, it's gone. Our heroism is all finished. And the true hero, Prabhupada is saying, is someone who's a Goswami. He's defining as a real hero. Someone who has the ability to control his own senses. And as a result of that control of the senses, is able to engage those senses in Krishna's service. And then, he shows up as the real hero. We don't have to worry about finding our place in the spotlight. We don't have to worry about that. We may go through life looking for the spotlight, looking to be recognized. But we should remember that ultimately we will get the spotlight, because recognition comes from Krishna. That's the recognition that really matters. Other forms of recognition, they don't matter so much. Someone may recognize you one day, they may criticize you the another day. Someone may see you, someone may not see you. They recognize you now, they'll be gone in a few years. The real recognition is when we're recognized in the eyes of our spiritual master and in the eyes of Krishna. Here's someone who's really a servant. And just like Prabhupada said, that my spiritual master recognized me as someone who listened very well. He said, his spiritual master used to point him out that this boy, he listens very well. He said he didn't say very much, Prabhupada. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati recognized him, that here's someone who hears very attentively, who hears very well. We become recognized by Guru, we become recognized by Krishna, and there'll be no limit to the spotlight, right? Because Krishna is so eager to shift the spotlight from himself to the devotees. He's so eager for that, because he gets the spotlight all the time anyway. Right? He's in the spotlight whether he likes it or not. This is who he is. Right? He is the light. Right? The light is coming from him. There's no question of his being outside the spotlight. Right? The entire Brahma Jyoti is emerging from his body. So he's eager to show that spotlight on his devotees. Once Arjuna recognized that he was not the hero, Krishna says, now you can be the hero. Right? And who's famous in the history of the Mahabharata war? Of course it's Arjuna. Right? Who's famous in the history of the Ramayana war? Of course it's Hanuman. Who's famous in the story of the Mahabharata? Of course it's the Pandavas. Who's famous in the battle? It's Bhishma Dev, right? He's the hero. He has such a beautiful mood with Krishna in relation to heroism. Right? He wants to see Krishna display this quality of being a hero. And so, as the Lord's servant, he has this virya rasa, right, this chivalrous rasa with the Lord. And on the battlefield, he's just dying to see Krishna in his role as the hero. Krishna is playing such a role out of the spotlight, right, just being the chariot driver. And he wants to see Krishna in the spotlight. So he does this whole thing where he fights more fiercely than he ever fought before. He's really powerful and just, you know, throwing volleys of arrows at Arjuna, and Arjuna is ready to die, basically. He cannot withstand. There was one person Arjuna could not withstand, and that was Bhishma. And at that point, Krishna, he can't handle it anymore. And he jumps off the chariot and runs towards Bhishma. It says, like a lion runs towards an elephant. And he picks up on the way the wheel of a broken chariot and holds it up high, ready to kill. And as soon as he does that, Bhishma throws down his weapons. And he says, come, kill me. I don't mind. I know I'm not the hero. I just did this to see you as the hero. Right? So if you want to kill, I have no claims to being a hero. I don't want to kill your devotee. Right? I have no intention of trying to fight with you. No, I just want to see you as the hero. So come, attack me. I don't mind. Right? That's the mood of the devotee. The devotee is always trying to drag Krishna into the spotlight and say, Krishna, you're the hero. Please, I want to see you as the hero. You're our hero. Vira Yoshita. Right? Vraja Janarthi Han, you're the hero of all of Braj. And Krishna, he's always trying to drag the devotee into the spotlight and say, no, it's you who are the hero. I'm just your servant. I'll drive the chariot for you. You fight the battle. And in this way, there's a constant competition. Who can make the other person the hero of the story? Right? Which is so beautifully opposite to what we find here in this world. So, we'll stop there. If there's a question or two, we can, yes.
Thank you very much for your time. I wanted to ask you if you could say something more about Srimati Radharani being the Supreme Chariot.
Yeah. this exchange we were talking about, Krishna trying to put others in the spotlight and others trying to put Krishna in the spotlight, that manifests itself nowhere more distinctly than in the relationship between Radha and Krishna. Right? Radha and Krishna, it says, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, Radha, Krishna Pranaya Vikriti, Hladini Shakti Rasmat. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Hladini Shakti Rasmat. Ekatmana Abhibhuvipura Deha Bhedam Gatautam. That Radha is none other than the manifestation of Krishna's love. Krishna Pranaya Vikriti. Hladini Shakti Rasmat. Therefore, she is the Lord's internal energy. Hladini Shakti. Ekatmana, although they're one in soul, in essence. Abhibhuvipura Deha Bhedam Gatautam. Since time immemorial, they have taken two bodies. Just for the purpose of enjoying pastime or lila. And so Radharani looks at Krishna and he sees how beautiful he is. And as a result of seeing that, she becomes so happy. And naturally when a person is happy, they become even more beautiful. Their happiness adds to their beauty. And so she becomes more beautiful. And Krishna thinks, wow, Radha is so beautiful. And he becomes more beautiful as a result. In this way, they're always competing with each other. But their competition is upside down, because their beauty increases not as a result of them trying to make themselves more beautiful, but as a result of appreciating the beauty of the other. In so many ways, Srimati Radharani is arranging everything. In just perfectly, she understands Krishna's mood, Krishna's feelings, in such a personal and intimate way, that she is able to arrange everything and behave in such a way that it increases Krishna's love for her every day, a thousandfold. She knows when Krishna, when to become angry, right, and display her transcendental anger, her mana. She knows when to become very humble and very meek, and through her shyness attract Krishna's attention. She knows how to dress perfectly. Right, what's that verse by Rupa Goswami? Radhe Jaya Jaya Maam Dhava Dhani.
It says more
about
that she's dressed in the gloves of
Namadara's
ever-increasing ecstasy.
Ah, Damodara Rati Vardhana Veshe Hari Nishkuta Vrinda Vipineshe. Damodara Rati Vardhana Veshe. She knows how to dress in such a way as to increase Damodara's attraction for her. She's the perfect Nayika, right? In a play, there's the Veera, the hero, and the Nayika, the heroine. Right? And she's the perfect heroine. She knows exactly when to take the spotlight, when to shift the spotlight. When to be forceful, when to be humble. How to dress, how to behave. How to speak, right? Everything perfectly, Srimati Radharani. And so she has so many supporting actresses who will assist her in her grand play, her great grand lila for Krishna. Just like outside here, there's such a beautiful painting of the reunion after the Rasa dance. And each gopi has Krishna with her. The hero is there, and the heroine is there. Right? Every gopi gets to be the heroine, and Krishna is always the hero. And you can see so many different moods. Some of them, they're teasing Krishna. Some of them, they're being very shy with Krishna. Other ones, they're pulling Krishna in some direction. Like all different moods being expressed in different ways. So Radharani, she is the perfect heroine. No one can be heroic like she is in the drama of Krishna's Leela. Really, all the world's a stage. It's true. It's true. But we just have to recognize who the hero and the heroine are. That's all. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Just there's so many more things one could say about Radha.
Can you explain how the smile of the Lord is in the smile of the devotee?
Yeah.
Can I
explain how the smile of the Lord diminishes the pride of the devotee? Krishna can smile in so many different ways. First of all, his smile is so beautiful that any conceptions we may have of our own beauty or our own qualification, they disappear, right, when we see Krishna's smile, when we see Krishna's beauty. No matter how beautiful we think of ourselves, right, if you see the deities in the morning, how can you think of yourself as so beautiful? Right? All that beauty just, you might think of your, oh, I'm so, you know, center stage. It's so nice. But when Krishna is there, then we all look like little sparks in front of him. Right? So his beauty is so great that any pride we may have in our own qualification, it goes away. Sometimes Krishna smiles because he knows something that we don't know. Just like someone may smile. You know, they know something, right? That you don't know. Ah, okay. So you think you're like this, don't you? Ah, you think you're such a great man. Oh, you think you're such a great devotee. Well, let's see. And sometimes Krishna can play a little hardball with us. Right? He can send us a curveball and say, oh, try this then. And we are, okay, sorry. I was getting a little proud there. And Krishna sent me a little reminder. Right? He smiled at me. Sometimes Krishna will destroy our pride. We can think of it like that. It's a nice way to think of it. If we're ever in a situation where we're humbled, and then Krishna just smiled at me. He showed me that, look, I'm the qualified one. I'm the hero here. Right? And suddenly we realize, oh, okay, it's not me. I'm not the best one around here. In this way, Krishna's smile. He can have so many different moods and meanings and so forth. He can smile with love, and he can smile with beauty he can convey. He can smile a little knowingly. He can smile a little sarcastically. Right? He can smile. Sometimes he laughs at the demons and shows all of his teeth. Right? In this way, he strikes fear into their hearts, right? Destroys their pride. Right? Krishna doesn't have to do very much. Just his smile is his most powerful weapon. This is why he doesn't need to carry a weapon. Right? He just has his flute and his smile. And in this way, he can finish off everyone. Okay, yes.
Different subject. You're speaking about how children will play these fairy tales and everything is so innocent. You remember Manasi Ganga Mataji, right? She was Rishabh's mother.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah. So I was thinking of another.
Right. I was speaking with her. She was saying about all these fairy tales. Her conceptions that they're evil, actually, because a child will grow up thinking about this, and it's embedded in their conception of life, that they're going to be able to have some kind of romance and really find the true lover, but it's not the truth about this world. That never happens, actually.
Right, right.
It's a fairy tale, that's the point of it. So then a person grows up in life and is always unsatisfied because he thinks that this is the way life is going to be.
Right.
So she thinks that you shouldn't show your kids fairy tales and things like that.
Right. We can replace them with stories of Krishna's heroism, right? And then that kind of reminds us of what our role is in that. Actually, there's been studies done of the history of fairy tales, and it turns out that a lot of these fairy tales which we hear about today, they actually started off in very different ways, right? And they kind of got cleaned up for kind of modern society. For example, the girl who kisses the frog, you know that story? The frog is there and he's invited to dinner by the king, and I don't know why, but anyway, she ends up kissing the frog, and then when she does, it's very difficult for her to do this. She knows somehow that the frog needs to be kissed, and then he'll turn into a prince. So the frog shows up and sits next to her on the dinner table, and anyway, she ends up kissing the frog, and then he turns into Prince Charming, and they marry. But that story originally started off in a very different way, where the frog shows up, and she's told to have dinner with him, and she gets so upset she just takes the frog and throws him against the wall. Then he turns into a prince. Right, which is kind of a more realistic account of the way things work in this world. You know, which girl's gonna kiss a frog? Forget it. Go to hell. And that sort of that rejection. My princess, and the prince arrives. So a lot of these stories are kind of, many of them are sanitized, so to speak, to not hurt the sensibilities of little children. But in fact, like you said, they're construction of this world, right? This is part of our indoctrination from the very beginning. And instead, we can hear stories of Krishna from the very beginning and his heroic activities. And in this way, satisfy the desire in the heart to hear heroic stories. And we've got the desire, Prabhupada saying we are heroes because this is Krishna's nature. He's a hero and we're part of him. Right? So we've got this desire to hear stories of heroism. We can satisfy that by hearing Krishna's heroic activities. Krishna book is full of Krishna's heroism. Because he's the most chivalrous, he's the most charming, he's the most funny, right? Look at that picture there. Krishna's so funny. He's ready to do all kinds of funny things with his devotees. In any way we want to find heroism, not just like brawn and physical muscle, not just like that, but in any way we conceive of heroism, we can find it in Krishna. And this is why he's all attractive. Okay, I think we should stop there. Thank you very much for your attention. Hare Krishna.